Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Grandparents' Day. Happy Uncle and Aunt Day. Happy Sibling Day. Happy, 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 happy day. Happy day. Oh, anyway, that's a whole nother song. Well, this is Cecilia, and I am so glad that every day is the day that we should celebrate people in our families and celebrate God. What a happy and joyous day every day is. I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sylvia so that she can pray for us and with us for the program and whatever God has given her to pray for them today. Minister Sylvia, I turn it over to you.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Father God. We come to you, O God, giving you all the glory, giving you all the praise, giving you thanks for giving us the honor to be able to come before you and say, Father God, I present myself as a living sacrifice, asking you to accept my praise, asking you to accept my petition of repentance, asking you, Lord, to cover my mind, my mouth, my heart, my family, my home, everything, God, that's containing to me, whether it's material, physical, or bodily family member. I'm asking you, God, to keep a loving hedge around it, protect it, touch their hearts, that they desire to serve you, O God. They desire to have a special relationship with you, O Lord. That they repent from their own hearts and mean it, not just with their mouth, O God, but with their heart. God, I thank you for the opportunity to know that I'm in my right mind and I could come to you also and ask for you to cover our country. God, our country has a mind problem. We're asking you, O Lord, to forgive our country and keep us in a place where we know that we are your people, and that we know that we need to come to you and depend on you, because without you, God, nothing is possible. God, we just know that your word that's going to be spoken on today is going to be a word that's greatly needed in the body of Christ. Your word that's coming forth today, God, let it be like the seeds that they are. Let it fall on good ground and take root, O Lord. For we know that we may not understand our walk with you, God, but we have to hold on to your unchanging hand. We have to bring all of our cares to you, O God. God, we have a mind problem in America, and we need a mind regulator. We need you to fix our hearts, fix our minds, God, so that when we speak, we say what you say. When we do things in the place and in the way and the order that you said to do it, O God. When we do something, God, we come before you and say, God, how do you want me to do this? Father God, we just ask you to cover our program on today, cover the speaker, so that your word will come forth and go out and do what it says it's going to do. It will not come back unto you void. Father God, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity to come before you, and thank you for listening to our petition, listening to our prayer. Father God, have your way. Bless every minister and their household that's associated with Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. Bless every friend that's a friend to Smile 3E, their homes and their families. God, we just trust you for everything. And we know that it is so, and so it is, in Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. I thank God for the prayer, and I thank God for Minister Sylvia, who is a mother, and I am a mother as well. And I thank God for this series that he's given me. Although America only has one day in May that they recognize mothers, we're going to be doing a series on mothers, and it's called What Kind of Mother Are You, or Do You Hope to Be? Again, what kind of mother are you, or do you hope to be? Because although we're teaching on mothers, many times people want to either talk about only the bad or only the good. But during this teaching series, we're going to cover both. And so I'm going to share a song, the lyrics by Boys to Men. Not the song itself, but the lyrics is called A Song for Mama. And I'm going to share those lyrics, and then I'm going to give the people on the line an opportunity to share a testimony or something they want to brag about that their mother did or showed them. And then I will come back with the examples of the first part of this series. And I just want to say, God, I thank you for the honor of allowing me the privilege and even the task of talking about what kind of mother are you, or do you hope to be? Because many mothers have no clue of what they're doing or even want to be a mother, or someone desired to be a mother and they're a stepmother or an auntie mother or a grandma mother, but there are different types of mothers out here. So let's go over this lyrics of this song called Song for Mama by Boys to Men. They said, you taught me everything, and everything you've given me, I always keep it inside. You're the driving force in my life. Yeah. There isn't anything or anyone that I can be. It just wouldn't feel right if I didn't have you by my side. Oh, you were there for me to love and care for me. When skies were gray, whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. And no one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be. You will always be the girl in my life for all times. Mama, mama, you know I love you. Oh, you know I love you, mama. Mama, you're the queen of my heart. Your love is like tears from the stars. Yes, it is. Mama, I just want you to know, loving you is like food to my soul. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, you're always down for me, have always been around for me. Even when I was bad, you showed me right from my wrongs. Yes, you did. You took up for me when everyone was down in me. You always did understand. You gave me strength to go on. There were so many times looking back when I was so afraid. And then you come to me and say to me then, no one else can do what you have done for me. You will always be the girl in my life. Oh, oh, mama, mama, you know I love you. You know I love you. Oh, you know I love you. Mama, mama, you're the queen of my heart. You are. Your love is like tears from the stars. Your love is like tears from the stars. Mama, I just want you to know. Mama, I just want you to know. Loving you is like food to my soul. Never gonna go a day without you. Fills me up just thinking about you. I'll never go a day without my mama. Mama, you know. Mama, I love you. Oh, you know I love you. Mama, mama, you're the queen of my heart. The queen of my heart. Mm. Your love is like tears from the stars. Say, your love like tears from the stars. Mama, I just want you to know. Mama, whoa. Oh, mama, mama, loving you is like food to my soul. And the songwriter that wrote that song was Kenneth Edmonds. And so that really blessed me that they kept saying how their mother was like not just the stars, but the tears from the stars. And how they kept saying how even when they were wrong, when they were not going the right way, their mama didn't just support them, but she still let them know what they did, if it was right or if it was wrong. So I'm opening up the lines right now for anyone that would want to share about their mama. The lines are open. Okay, then I'll share.
Hello.
Go ahead, Minister Sylvia. Go ahead, Minister Sylvia.
I was trying to wait to see if anyone else would like to speak before I said anything. But I thank God for having a mom that taught us to be a mother, how to be a mother, how to receive a mother. I thank God that our mom didn't just give us life, but she spoke life over us. I thank God for having a mom that said that she was not to be our friend. She was our mother. But with that being said, she was friendly, but she was a discipliner. She was friendly, but she was a loving mom. She was friendly, but she was a providing mom. I thank God for having a mother that didn't just, like I said, give us life, but spoke life over us, because she always was teaching us about the loving kindness of God. She taught us scriptures, you know, when she would say to things to us like, when we said, well, Mom, why you're not our friend? She would say, that's not my job to be your friend. My job is to be your mother and to love you unconditionally, to teach you. Excuse me. I thank God for that kind of mom. I was thinking about conversations that me and Apostle had, and I was asking God to bring back some of the things that our mom taught us when we were children. And I thank God I began to read the Word and Googled some things, and it took me to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and it says, in the 15th verse, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And my mother always taught us to never be in a position that we put her to be ashamed. Never put her in a position that we look like we've been raised any kind of way when she raised us in with the fear of the Lord. When she raised us with the honor and respect of the Lord, not just in our heart, but when we speak of the Lord, we was not ashamed of him. It also says in the 17th verse, to correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yeah, ye shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the he perish, but that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I said, all that to say, it's happy when you can speak of the life that your parents give you, the mother give you, and you're excited about not being embarrassed of your mom. Mothers have to have the attitude where you say, Lord, I thank you for you giving me a mom that I didn't have to go pick up in the streets and say, come on, mom, let's go home, or I had to go find her. I just thank God for having a saved, sanctified, tongue-speaking, Holy Ghost-believing, Holy Ghost-walking mom. I don't know if anybody understanding what I'm saying, but I thank God for that. I thank God that my mother was not just my mom, but she wanted to be my mom. So that's what I wanted to say about mothers on today. And if everybody has a different input and output, but I thank God for my mom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sylvia. And now I'll do a quick, well, it may not be so quick, testimony about my mom. But before I do, Proverbs 31 and 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Isaiah 49 and 15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. I will say I remember my mother as a community mother. And you're going to be like, what does she mean by that? My mother was so blessed that even the people in the community wanted her to be their mother. She had a niece, a great niece, that came to her and asked her, Aunt Belle, will you be my grandma? She was such a great mother until our friends growing up spent more time at our house than they did at their own house. Not just because my mom was a great cook, because that she was. And she was even a mother to her neighbors, where she would fix them cornbread and biscuits and rolls and various things. And she would just share it with them. They didn't have to ask for it. See, my mom was a community mother. My mother was so loved until the people in the neighborhood cherished her. Her grandchildren that knew better cherished her. Her children cherished her. Her nieces and nephews cherished her. People moved into Chicago. They came and stayed at our house first. And my mother was the mother to them that they needed while they transitioned to whether they were going to college or marriage or whatever was going on in their lives. But our house was a house where the mother of the family, who was our mother, not just her tribe, because her siblings had tribes also, but when their mothers passed, and even if their mother was still on earth, they came to our mother to teach them how to cook, to teach them how to be wise, to teach them how to be a mother. I mean, a mother that the community not only envied, but was jealous of, and not only was jealous of, but wanted to emulate. To have a mother that a community wants to emulate, to have a mother that even the police department bragged about and wanted her to be on their bowling teams and different things like that. To have a mother that when she passed away, there wasn't standing room in the place. There were people outside of the place. There were came by to hear and talk to our mother that even came to our home going. There were people that came from near and far because of the tribute that our mother was as a mother. And I'm going to stop right there because I could talk about my mother all day. Why? Because she was a gift from God. And not everybody had the privilege of having a gift from God that they could call a mother. And that's why we're going to start off talking about the mother that may have forgotten the gift that she was. See, according to the world's standards that are always wavering on what a good or a bad mother is, or even an unhealthy mother-child relationship is, they've agreed on this, that an unhealthy mother and a bad mother is one that's stingy. She's all about her. She's all about her schedule. She's all about what she wants. She's all about focusing on her financial stability, not necessarily the child's financial stability, not necessarily the child's performance, but always worried about her. It's all about me, myself, and I for that stingy mother. It's that mother that only wants to be there for her kids when it's tax season or she can get something out of it. This is the mother that from time to time, she might give a child a comforting word or a loving word, but most of the time, it's a mother that only thinks about her. So you need a new pair of shoes? No, she got to get her hair done. She got to do this. She got to do that. While you're walking around looking raggedy, and she's looking oh, so fly. And then another motherly thing that's lacking in a bad mother, she lacks communication. She doesn't know how to talk to her children that are teenagers or even young. She doesn't know how to have the delicate balance of being a disciplinarian and also being a person that they can talk to, that they can communicate with. She's one of those moms that may always tell the kids to shut up. She never wants to give them the ability to tell her what's going on with them. She's that mother that whether you like it or not, is all about her and giving her expensive gifts and doing great things for her on the holidays, but she's never going to take time to have that actual heart-to-heart talk with her child to help them to understand the things in life that are paramount and critical. Why? Because this mother is all about her. So she doesn't want to hear what's going on with you. A matter of fact, something traumatic could probably happen in your life, and she may tell you, oh, just suck it up and drive on. You're not the only one that's been through that. It may be the mother that you've experienced something so traumatic in your life till she's blaming you. Why did you put yourself in that situation? And then we have the mother that not only overindulges, but she's a person that wants to satisfy other people, satisfy herself. It's all about her. It's all about the child even working. And it may even be irrational and even arrogant to a certain extent. Every whim, every fancy that that mother wants is what that kid has to focus on. It is all about making mama happy. oh, but the kid needs this or wants this or whatever. Nope, it's all about mama. Mm-mm-mm. Or that one that you come to call her about something that's going on to you, with you, some abuse or ethical dilemma or legal wrong that's going on, and she wants to debate you over it. A matter of fact, she don't want to hear about it. She just wants to beat your butt for getting caught in the first place. Not that you did it, but for getting caught for doing it. She will raise her hand and smack you and beat you in public and private. She'll give you the harshest physical or verbal punishment because she doesn't understand the deep psychological repercussions of beating a child instead of hearing from a child. She doesn't understand the fact that a child is like a delicate flower or even a beautiful dove or even a jewel, a diamond, a precious diamond. She doesn't understand it, nor does she care. And then you have that mother that's always inferring. She's inferring that if you don't do this for her or that for her, that she may die. She's always trying to use death and different guilt trips to make you do this or do that. You can't confide in her because she's going to go and tell everybody about what you're doing. She's going to keep emotionally distancing herself from you because you're trying to tell her what you're experiencing, the emotional stresses that you're experiencing. But no, it's all about her. The more you want to talk about you with her, the more you want to confide about the things going on with you with her, she's going to emotionally distance you. She's always going to be busy. She's not going to have time. She always sleepy. She always eating. She always doing whatever it is about mama, not about you. And when she distances herself, whether it's in her room or going out here or there, she's always going to keep that space in between you. She's always going to make you think everything in her life is so private. And she never wants you to be absent in her life, but she doesn't want you to be in her life. She doesn't want you to even think she's a cool mama. A matter of fact, she don't even mind if you think she's a bad mother. Because it's all right with her, as long as you, in some cases, as long as you think she's cool, as long as you think she's sexy, as long as you think she's this or that, it's all about her. And even when she disciplines her child, she overindulges even on that. She will, the child could end up in the emergency room, but she's going to have that child and her have a quick story to tell about the bruises or the injuries that the child has sustained because she doesn't discipline herself. So that's why she can't discipline her children and she goes too far. She might even be a husband beater, not just a child beater. She might be one that beats her husband and thinks it's okay. Or she may be that shows you that she beats the husband, well, she may never beats you, but she's always being abusive to someone. She has bad behavior that she's teaching her children. She's supposed to be the role model, but yet she's being a bad example of how mothers behave, about how wives behave. And so instead of showing you the patience that blossoms in a child's life, that needs to blossom in a child's life, she's always showing you impatience. She may put her emotions in a bottle, in a drug, in a sexual perversion, but whatever she puts it in, her love and her patience won't be in you. And it won't be in God because it's all about her. It's all about her addiction. Her addiction to self. She will be so overprotective until it'll seem like she's trying to shield you from the world when in actuality, she just wants every decision, big or small, that you make, she wants to control it. She will severely stunt you in your growth. She will severely even get the father to scold you, or even scold the father for not scolding you. She will treat you like you are a person that should be esteeming her so grand, so great. Why? Because she bought you a pair of socks. She bought you a pair of shoes when that's her reasonable service. She's supposed to take care of you. That's right. She's supposed to reward you and celebrate you when you do something good. Not tell you, oh, everybody else is doing that too. You're not so great. That's what the world says about a bad or unhealthy mother. Let's talk about what God's word says concerning mothers. See, in God's word, there were various characters and encounters with mothers that were imperfect, and they were flawed as well. Because, see, some of these mothers struggled with misjudgment and neglect. Some of these mothers were complex, even in their human relationships and nature. Some of these mothers, although some examples are positive and negative, they were still mothers that were provoking their children. They were still mothers that had bad qualities, but yet we could still glean from them. We could still, if we go to the Word, find out ways to reflect and get a deeper understanding of how to be a better mother. Let's start with Hagar and Sarah. They were surrogate mothers, per se, because in Genesis 16, Sarah, in her impatience, wanted Abraham to have a child with Hagar, which led to tension and conflict. So that was a bad decision on Sarah's part, because she was impatient with God. She was so impatient with God until she was the very cause of the conflict between Isaac. Mm-hmm. That is very, very key that we understand that. The two sons that Abraham had, one with Sarah and one with Hagar, was because of the impatience and the doubt that Sarah had. And yet now Hagar was a mother of arrogance, because she had a child at first that Sarah didn't have. So can you imagine having Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, and Sarah, the mother of Isaac, who was the fulfillment of the promise of God? Now they, both of these women, are walking around dealing with motherhood, but also insecurities at the same time. See, these volatile scars of doubting God shows you the consequences of what happens when we decide we're going to help God out. We decide we're going to manipulate God's plan. When we decide it's not happening fast enough for us. Because then you end up like Hagar and Sarah, who were jealous of one another and causing jealousy and envy amongst the brothers, instead of embracing the very belief and the guidance of God, the unwavering love of God, the Christian motherhood of God, instead of challenging God's timing and God's decisions and doubting, but it's an art to patience. It's an art to waiting and learn from the relationship of Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah, and Ishmael, and Isaac, because still today, they're warring in the nation between Israel and the Arabs and Pakistan. We go on and on because of the bad decision of not believing God. Then we could go into another story in Genesis 19 and 26 where Lot's mother was in a crisis, disobedient to God. Remember, she's the one that turned into a pillar of salt, leaving her children without her care. She turned back and looked at the very place that God was delivering them from, a place full of sin, a place full of fleshly discernment, desires, and fulfillment. His wife made it her central focus. So although Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed, she looked back, not ahead, but she could not give over the fact that she needed to flee the very city that was just indulging in the very acts of disobedience to God that consumed them, so much so that their disobedience showed their inability to prioritize the love of God. And then Lot's wife had the nerve to look back. How many of us keep looking back and causing our children dire consequences because we can't let go of the past? How many of us keep looking back because we don't understand the importance and the obedience of the very moment that we're in right now? How many of us keep looking back because we put what we want ahead of what's best for our children? How many of us keep looking back because not because we're perfect and not because what we're looking back at is perfect, but because we don't want to give up the past? I had someone to send me some pictures of me dressed a certain way, walking a certain way, acting a certain way in my past when I had walked away from God. And they were so proud of these pictures about how pretty I looked in this or that. But when I looked back, the riotous living that I was in, I knew I could not turn around to celebrate it. It wasn't even worth talking about. Because God is teaching me the love and the grace of forgiveness that he's poured upon me. So why would I want to look back on a season in my life and keep celebrating it like it's better than God? Because, see, what message are you sending to people when you keep looking back on the sinful nature? Not that we're to be ashamed of it, but why do you talk about that and show that so much? I would not dare, and I thank God, because in the past, I've been number one sinner and the number one person that would have loved to show you all the cat suits and the spandexes and all of that stuff. But that's a past assignment that I'm only to talk about when it gives God the glory. Let's move on to Leah and Rachel, the sibling rivalry. See, in this particular story, this rivalry was so bad that Jacob's love produced children that were a part of a competition, which complicated the family dynamics. How many of you know that when siblings are humble, we don't compete with one another? We don't have rivalry with one another because it causes pain, not just for us, but for our children. It causes confusion, even for our children. It causes our children to look at their aunts and their uncles wrong. Why? Because we are so busy rivaling with our children and with our siblings until that's all they see. They don't see the love we have for one another. Whether it's a sister in an organization or a sister in this or that, none of them should cause us to compete with our husbands, with our children, with one another. Why? Because the affection that God has shown us, the hope and the love that God has shown us, even in the struggles with the infertility issues that Rachel had, her concentration should have been on God and to celebrate the fact that her sister able to bear children. Because, see, remember, even the word talks about how Leah was not fair to look at. Rachel, in the word, was beautiful, but she was infertile. And yet Leah, her sister, was able to bear children, but she wasn't pleasant to look at. So both of them had things that were going on with them that they could have been there for one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, intensifying, working on one accord instead of working in discord with one another, instead of allowing division, instead of allowing the things of the world and the things of the devil to be maximized. They should have been capitalizing on the stability of their sisterhood, of the nurturing of their sisterhood, instead of the negativity of one sister being able to bear children before the other sister. But see, quick testimony. My mother and father, when me and my sister were young, we would fight, not just, you know, verbally, but physically. Our parents immediately instilled in us and taught us that if they caught us fighting one another again, that they would discipline us. They taught us, which was really weird because I don't know where my mother came up with it, but it was a profound theory. She said, when you want to argue with one another or do you're displeased with one another, she says, don't put your mouth on one another. Don't say negative things about one another. She says, talk about those so-called friends of yours that won't be there for you the way you will be there for one another. The older sister, Renee, I need you to protect your younger sister. I need for you to come back and let us know the things that you've done, and we're going to reward you for protecting your other sister, for your younger sister, because you know she has that mentality of, can't we all just get along? She wants everybody just to get along. She wants everybody to be happy. She don't want to fight. She want to read her books, her encyclopedias. She want to read the Bible. She want to read anything that's going to increase her knowledge because she loves learning. Now you got the gift of hands. You love fighting. You love not to fight someone to hurt them, but you want to show them your skill set. Don't know where you got that boxing skill set from, but we know that you have the skill of hands, so protect your sister. So then my sister became my protector. I was still the little bookworm that I was, and yet when we would get mad at each other, we'd talk so bad about our friends till our friends never knew the things we said about them, and if they did, oh, my. I don't know if they would have wanted to be our friends, but see, they knew how to take care of that rivalry right away. to make it fun. So now me and my sister were sigging on our friends and making jokes about our friends. And now my sister, who is a great comedian still to this day, we basically intensify and capitalize on her ability to crack jokes. And she oftentimes shares those jokes with a few family comedians that we have, and then they use it in their skits and in their shows. So there's ways that you can take those bad things that are happening between the siblings and use them and make them positive. And so we're going to break right here because I have so much. I have pages and pages and pages of examples of these parents that were not so good of parents in the Bible, but God is using them to show us how we can take those, even those examples, and glean from them to be better parents. So Minister Sylvia, I'm going to turn the program over to you right now, and I don't know how long this segment, these segments and these series is going to continue about mothers, but know this, no matter what kind of mother you had or what kind of mother you are, if you go to God, he can give you a way of escape. Minister Sylvia, I turn the program over to you.
Thank you. I want to just add to something you had said about our mother growing up. We found out that our house, it became a safe haven for a lot of people, for a lot of our friends, that sometimes the only time that they would get a decent meal was when they came by our house. Well, we found out that not just family members, but some people was like, I thought my mama could cook, but I never knew good food till I came over here and ate. I said all that to just say, when we make a decision to become a mother, I believe that the thing we should do, which most of us don't do, because like Apostle was saying, they have that Leah and Rachel envy relationship. We should talk to God about it instead of trying to say, I'm going to show her or I'm going to trap him. We should understand the type of mother that we are fit to become. Because whatever you do, when you are a mother, you are responsible not just for that child's life, but you're responsible for the gift that God has given you. How are you going to present that gift back to God because of how you're presenting that gift to the world? I thank God for the woman of God on today sharing with us about the gift of being a mom. You know, when Mother's Day is coming up on May 12th, what are we sitting back, and are we honestly sitting back to wait for our children to appreciate us? And then some of us have to understand that there's mothers out there that are mothers to someone because they're stepmom or they are a godmother, or their auntie that stepped in be the other one. As some people will say, that's my other mother. I've been blessed with two moms. Everyone don't understand that it is a gift from God to be able to become a mother. So I'm so happy for the opportunity to say, God, I thank you for allowing me to become a mother in my late 30s, almost 40 years old, to allow me to not just have a child, but to have a child that was, even though he came before time, but he was healthy. He had his right amount of limbs, one little extra on one of his hands. That's a little side note. But he was healthy, and I thank God for the desire. When I found out pregnant, the first thing I did was gave God thanks and asked God not to just give me a healthy baby, but God, give me a mind, a heart, and a desire to be the mother for this child that you have given me. Because I had no desire to be a mother. I wanted to be self-centered about me, myself, and I. Yes, the woman of God spoke about that, but that's how I was. I was selfish. But when I found out that I was pregnant, I knew that that was God, because I was told as a kid I had scarlet fever, I would never have children. But once the doctor told me and my husband I was pregnant, shared it with us, I said, God, give me a heart to not just be this child's mother, but want to be this child's mother. Remove me out of the way, God, that I will be the mother that you said that you will have, that you're going to provide for this child. I thank God for allowing that to happen in my life. So I'm going to say, if anyone else is on the line and would like to say something this morning, please go ahead before we continue on. The lines are open. Okay, well, we're going to, like the woman of God said, we're going to have many more sessions of the awesomeness of being a mom. I thank God for the mothers in the church. And, you know, I thank God for the mothers in the church that was not just mothers in the church, but they were mothers at home with their own children. Because our mom was not just a mom at home. She was a mom in the church. She was a mom at work. She had so many outside children, as the woman of God ministered earlier, that people just found themselves safe in our mother's space. Everyone was welcome. She has been gone since April 6, 1997, and we miss her every day. It's not the type that you say, well, I can't tell you about my mom. I can't stop talking about my mom. I can't stop telling you about my mom. There were so many things she did. My mother worked. She was a provider. Also, we had a double-parent household. Yes, so she a provider. She was a disciplinarian. She was a teacher. She was a mother. She was a caretaker. She was a doctor. She was a lawyer. She was everything that you could possibly asked for, and as we got older, when we got grown, that's what our mother, not just was our mom, she had became that friend that we asked her about when we were children. She became friendly because she was always teaching us what thus said the Lord. So I thank you all for tuning in with us on today, this day of April, I think it's the 21st. The 20th or the 21st, or forgive me for not knowing exact date, but 2024. We are so excited about knowing that the Lord still saves on today. Our foundational scripture for our program, Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, is called Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We want to thank you for taking the time out this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. to join us, Central Standard Time. Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser speaks every Sunday morning, pouring into us the Word of God. We thank you for tuning in to hear what she had to say. So come back next Sunday to hear what the woman of God has to say. If you have time on Monday night, at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, you could tune in to hear this Monday Evangelist Tony Montgomery and Minister Ron Montgomery teach us about the biblical word of God for our family, what God says about the family, and the plan God has for the family. If you come back on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you can hear me talk with you all about Wisdom Wednesday, see what God has placed in my heart to share. If you come back on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, you can hear what God has put in our hearts to share with you all. We sometimes tag team. Sometimes we have guest speakers. We will say what God has for us to say. We will tell you what God has for us to say, and we would just wait to hear from God concerning what God has for our listeners and our viewers, because we're sometime on Facebook as well as on Blog Talk. Excited about this month of April because we have 5 Mondays in this month, and this month we will be celebrating our youth. So I just want you all to know that God has a plan, and his plan is that his people are fed. And who feeds people? Knowledge from the word of God through the people of God that he has set up before us. So make sure whoever's feeding you the word of God, that they are giving you just that, God's word, not their word. Seek the Lord with all thy heart and understand, not yours, but his understanding. We lack knowledge, ask. So I give the program back over to the woman of God, and we thank you all for joining in.
Father God, we thank you for the program on today. We thank you for all listeners. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We ask you to bless every mother. We ask you to bless every listener. We ask you to give them the provisions that they need to be successful in life. God, we thank you for the quarter billionaires, the millionaires, the multimillionaires, the things that you're doing in their lives so that they can pour out into your kingdom and be a blessing. God, thank you for the mothers. Not because we're mothers, but because we had mothers. And because the so many mothers, we have our presidents, and we have our vice presidents, and we have our mayors, and we have our husbands, and we have our wives. God, we thank you for all that you're doing, and you're doing it through the mothers. On the next series, God, when you have us to celebrate the fathers, we want to thank you. When you have us to celebrate the nieces and the nephews and the cousins and the aunts, God, we celebrate humanity because you created us. And we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Amen and amen. Thank you all for tuning in, and we appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Family, if you're online, hold on to 1045. Good morning, family. Is there anyone on the line? If so, please identify yourself. I am Renee.
Just me and you.
So just me and you on the line, Cecilia?
Yep.
Okay. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to let us get together on today for morning prayer. We thank you for making it consistent in our hearts and spirits that we desire to touch and agree as a family. God, we stand in the gap for our family, oh Lord. So there's a need for prayer. And God, we're just asking you from each and every one of us for our house to desire to get before you, to pray, to desire to get in your presence, to be included in prayer, to desire to have a heart that says, God, I want a relationship with you. Teach me how to pray. God, we're in such a desperate need for our next generation, God. For the third generation on down, oh Lord, we're asking you to touch their hearts and minds, that they don't shy away, walk away, or act like prayer is not something that's needed. God, don't just let us come together to ask for prayer when something goes wrong. God, let us want to get in your presence and stand in a corporate gathering of family bloodline to just say, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for touching the heart of the loved ones that want to say, if anything I give you, I'm going to give you the greatest gift outside of love to have a relationship with God is prayer. Through prayer, God, we can reach you. We can give you our secrets. We can give you our heart's desire. We can come before you, God, and tell you about our dreams and wait on you, oh God. Wait to hear from you through prayer. God, give us the word to say. Give us ears to hear you, oh God. Teach us how to recognize your voice. God, get in our hearts. God, change our minds. We're living in a time where this world is full of sin and sick minds. We need our minds regularly. Touch us, oh Lord. Because the enemy is on his job to kill, steal, and destroy. God, we just ask you for a change of heart, a change of our hearts, oh God. God, we ask you to just take our family and put them under Holy Ghost for rest, oh God. Don't let them rest. Don't let them have peace until they receive you as their Lord and King. Their Lord and Savior, their only true and one living God. Let them have a desire to say, God, your will be your way. Let me decrease that you may increase, oh God. Even in my youth, even in my mid-age, even in my old age, God, I still deserve you, desire you. I still want to receive you, oh God. God, cover our home. God, whatever the enemy has in store or what plans that he had before in this world, God, we ask you to put the axe at the root. God, in the secret places of our minds and hearts, God, we just ask you to go ahead and break up that spirit of confusion. Break up that spirit of nobody cares, that pity demon. Destroy the bloodline, problems and curses of depression, oh God. God, why is it that we can hear everyone else's word, but we can't hear the word for the ones that we know love us. God, you taught us that we are your children. You have taught us from childhood, oh God, that we could come before you. God, you said let everything that have breath praise you. God, go into the hearts and minds of our bloodline, down to 100 generations plus. God, don't let them lose. Don't let them lose where you have brought us from. God, we know that you have been our Lord and our soul, Savior. You have been our Lord and our soul, Provider. You have been our Lord and our Protector. You have been our Lord and our soul, Redeemer. You have been our Lord and our Lord, our King of Kings. God, we just love you. It's so much that we want to ask you. There's so much that we desire from you. God, just in our mind, the one that's crying out for help, God, teach us how to help them. Don't let us have so many kind words and a loving heart and peace for others. But God, we don't have it for our own family. Teach us, God, how to reach them. Teach them, God, and open their hearts. How to receive us and relate to us, oh God. God, let us stop living in the past or living in what somebody else told them. God, open their hearts and minds. Bring back the remembrance. They know what to do and where. We ask you to be sure of God. Cancel the numbers. Wipe out the lives of us. Let truth abide and abound. Let your truth be built back up into blood. Let your truth be built back up into the family that you want to be there. God, we call on you, oh God. Every day of our life, we call on you, oh God. Every moment of our life, we call on you, oh God. Jesus, come in the blood. Visit and send your angels to minister in their sleep, oh God. We ask for protection, oh God. And heal our pets, oh God. Give them what they need. We ask you to work for miracles, oh God. I'm standing up for my pet, Maple, oh God. Be such a good dog. That are blessing, that are protecting us, oh God. As we thought we was rescuing her, oh God, it was a destiny that at the time and the date you woke me up and sent me together, it was for a purpose. And since we had a God within 8 months, she has been there for both of us, saving our lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the strong thing. That we have no concept, that we don't even think of. But God, you said, you know every hair on our head is numbered. You know every need that we need. You know every want that we want. Not even we don't know what we need to want. You already put a plan in place before us. God, wake us up. Wake us up before it's too late, God. Please don't let the sun go down on us, oh God. God, heal, deliver, set free, oh God. Glory to your name, oh God. God, I thank you, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you. Let that be our motto, oh God. What you say? Your will, your way, God, what you say. God, if you just said, I don't want to say it, God, what you say. God, if you said, go, I want to go, God, what you say. If you say, do it, God, what you say. It's your way, God, what you say. God, take us back. Take us back to the day we first
would love to do. Take us back to the day we first sat down and we talked and believe that you love us. God, give us our heart. Give us our mind. Spirit, oh God. Just in your blood. Clean us in your blood, oh God. Put a desire in us, oh God, that we don't even know tonight, that we don't even feel in this world. We have to prepare to the beauty. We have to get before you and say, here I am. Forgive me, oh God. God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to die on the cross for me and my sinner. God, I thank you that he rose again on the third day, God, that I may have life and have life more abundant. God, I thank you for your gift of life. I thank you, God, that you come into my heart and my life to change me so that I repent of every sin. Teach me how to repent daily, Lord, and look forward to you daily delivering us, setting us free, oh God. Where I walk in things that does not please you, does not make you happy, oh God, I ask you for forgiveness. Where I walk in things that, God, does not give you glory, that does not body of Christ to the kingdom of God, God, teach us how to desire you even the more over every habit, over every bad place, over every bad word, God. When bad things are going to come out of our mouth, God, let us get choked up by our tongues or whatever. God, make us be in remembrance of you, oh God, to speak life, to let life come out of our mouth. Teach us to remember that the power of tongue is a small member, but a great fire it can kindle, God. Let us kindle up the fire of love for you and the King. God, teach us that we can say anything out of our mouth, God, but everything we say is not giving you the glory. It's not giving life. God, don't let us speak anything that does not give you glory. God, take us back to your word in the beginning, oh God. That's how it started off in Genesis, in the beginning. And in Revelation, it ends with amen. God, let us speak your word from the beginning to the amen, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Heal, God. Heal us all, oh Lord. Deliver us, oh God. Is there anyone else on the line who would like to pray? Please go ahead.
Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over the mind, over the heart, over the ears, over the bodies, from their head to their toes, from the doorposts of their homes, on their jobs, in the classroom. Wherever they go, I plead the blood of Jesus. I ask you to protect them, provide provision for them, to bless them in the city and bless them in the field, to make them the head and not the tail. The emotional struggle, go in the name of Jesus. They must succumb to the blood of Jesus. They must be annihilated and destroyed.
Yes.
Based off of the intercession of Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for being our intercessor.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Messiah. Thank you, Jesus, for being our propitiation. You are our substitute, and we thank you. Draw your people, God. Show us how to lift you up so that you can draw all men unto you.
Yes.
And let that beginning of the drawing be within our household, within our DNA, both spiritual and natural. Let us be the examples we need to be And let us have a now word, a logos word, a revelatory word that will draw your people. And we ask you in the name of Jesus to have your Holy Spirit to keep them. God, don't let anybody run away or turn away from you ever and our family again, because the day is drawing nigh when Jesus will return again. God, we ask you that none of them are left behind, including ourselves. For you said that you wish that none would perish, and we line up with that prayer. We wish that none in our family would perish, that they all would come to not just a revelatory knowledge of who you are, but fall in love with you, God, like they've never loved anything and anybody.
Yes.
Ever, ever, ever again. Do it for your glory.
For your glory.
Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Jesus, do what only you can do. God, do what only you can do. And we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. For it's not about me, myself, and I, but it's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Is there anyone else on the line? Okay, since no one else is on the line, I thank you, Apostle Elect, for touching in the bridge, praying for us and with us. Just ask God, like you said, to keep us covered on the highways and the byways. Keep our harm, evil, danger, and death away. And for God to just touch Lulu in a special way. Touch Wizards in a special way. Touch Kavahana in a special way. Touch Carlton Jr. in a special way. Touch Shonda and Naya in a special way. Touch Charles and Adrian and Tiana and Kai in a special way. Hey, Shauna and AJ in a special way. Tay Tay and her baby in a special way. God, we ask you to touch Brad and Michaela, Presley and Ellie and Tatum in a special way. We ask you to touch Kiki and Carlton and their household, Hector, in a special way. God, we ask you to touch Lewis and his household in a special way. God, we ask you to touch T. and Yak in a special way. We ask you to touch Stan Senior and Stanley Junior in my household in a special way. We ask you to keep the Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and myself, Cindy Kaiser, on assignment and touch us in a special way, God. Every ailment, every diagnosis, prognosis, anything and everything that we have on the table, on the altar, any health issues or concerns that we are dealing with, oh God. We ask you to touch us, touch them in a special way, God. You know what our heart desire is. You know what our request is, oh God. You know where fears lie. We know where our trust and our faith lie, God. For we know that we believe in you, God. We walk in faith. Pray for the things that we know that only you can take care of and you can have it. God, we just have faith and just something to do, hope for, and believe that you are blessing. God, we stand before you on your word. Then, God, I know that they say, what can I really be saying? I know that they're saying, but God, we're happy with you. God, let us be walking miracles. That our life can be a testimony to you.
that even after they think they done diagnosed and diagnosed, they think they seen, they think they know. So when they look up and say, it's got to be a God somewhere because I know what I thought I was, I know what I think I know, and I know what has to show me. God, let your will be done in our life. Thank you, Lord. Every ailment will be changed. God, you've done all that you can do in our eyes. So, God, let your will be done above and beyond in the spirit realm, in the bloodline, in the physical body, inside and out, oh God. You made the body, you heal the body, you heal the body.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.